So feminism is a pure and sinister hatred towards the most stunningly beautiful, natural, and innocent thing there are on this planet. A proud Aryan mother with a newborn in her arms. And a sad thing with feminism is also that women actually are fooled, or brainwashed maybe, to believe that this pursue in trying to become men, at the same time as they hate men, will make them happier, will make them more fulfilled.
Hello and welcome to Leadership Perspective, the official podcast of the Nordic Resistance Movement. My name is Fredrik Weiland and with me, the leader of the Nordic Resistance Movement, Simon Lindberg. Greetings.
Hello, hello.
How are you doing?
I'm just fine, actually. And I hope you are as well.
Yeah.
Fine. I just want to say that I know that Father's Day is on different dates in different countries. But today, when we record this episode, at least it is actually Father's Day in Sweden and all Nordic countries except of Denmark by some strange reason. So I would like to begin by saying happy Father's Day to you, Weiland.
Yeah, thank you. Happy Father's Day to you as well.
Thank you. Did you get any breakfast on your bed or some drawings from your kids or something?
No, not this time, but I got that yesterday, actually.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I got some coffee on the bed. So, but it wasn't in the morning, but it was nice anyway.
Yeah, all right.
But today I got I don't know the smörgåstårta. Mm-hmm. It's actually a Swedish dish, so I use the Swedish name, but sandwich cake, maybe?
It is extremely Swedish, actually. My woman is from Norway, and she had never heard about smörgåstårta before I met her. So it's very, very Swedish, actually, but it's extremely good as well. So I'm actually a little bit... I also would have wanted to eat that today.
Actually, it's really good. Actually, they claim that it was originated in my own hometown, actually, Östersund, in the northern part of Sweden.
All right.
So, nice in many ways, and extremely good. I think that Andreas Nordic Frontier has spoken a lot of. He left the ketchup on the pasta and was talking about smörgåstårta as well.
Yeah, and on smörgåstårta, you are insane if you put ketchup. I think we can all agree on that one. Yeah,
it's mayo and shrimps and stuff like that.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, look it up.
Some nice trivia that is not about weather.
No, it's about food instead. Yeah, yeah. Did you get some presents or?
Yes. I got a drawing that was made by two of my kids together. They have made a drawing, and then I also got some coffee on the bed and so on. So it was nice, but no smörgåstårta. So I'm a little bit disappointed. I wasn't disappointed until I heard that you got.
Okay.
Out of pure coincidence, I also must mention that we will talk about women in this episode that we record on Father's Day. A little bit special. But it's just a coincidence, as said.
Yes. And I will begin with a new apology. It is a little embarrassing to say, but this is the second episode in a row that we've been delayed, which is very unusual for us. I think that these two episodes are the only episodes that have been delayed in all the years that we had broadcast Leadership Perspective and our Swedish counterpart, Ledarperspektiv.
Yes, I would not go so far as say it's the only two, but it's maximum like two out of four or something. Two out of three or two out of four or something. It's very, very unusual, as you say. We have always been very proud of that we never are late and are very consistent in what we do. So, yeah, it's very embarrassing.
Yeah. And, of course, we have a lot to do in the struggle. But I still think we should have been able to get an episode out in time this time. But it won't be a third time. But now we will keep our publishing pace going forward.
Yes.
So in any case, I would like to apologize for those who waited and hope you understand. So, yes, and one other thing that I wanted to bring up is that we were represented at a recent major conference held by Patriotic Alternative in United Kingdom. And you can hear more about it in the latest episode of Nordic Frontier, number 245. Because the host, Andreas, was invited. He gave a speech on the spot and attended the whole weekend. Unfortunately, neither of us could attend, but we received a very good report from Andreas. And I'm not going to bore you with all the details about it, but the things that were kind of nice to hear were that a lot of their activists appreciated the activism of the Nordic Resistance Movement, but also our show, Leadership Perspective. And I think one of them said that Leadership Perspective is the best podcast around, something like that. So very nice to hear. Quite fantastic, because we know that there are other national podcasts out there that are better known, and we are two Swedes trying to speak English, and then it's always fun that there are people from, for example, Great Britain and the United States who listen. So, hail to you, and us, of course. After meeting Patriotic Alternative, apparently, according to people on Telegram, we are now Duginists, because apparently Mark Collett and Laura Towler are, which I highly doubt, and then so must we be. I can assure you that the Nordic Resistance Movement are not Duginists, and I also believe that very few of us have even read Dugin's books, let alone promoted his ideas within our movement. It should also be said that we have a cooperation with Der Dritte Weg in Germany, which is openly pro-Ukrainian. We haven't questioned it, and they haven't been childish towards us and call us Duginists or something like that. The reason we like Patriotic Alternative or Patriot Front in the US or Die Dritte Weg in Germany, to take a few examples, is because they are activist, healthy, genuine, and make demands of their members. We want people to exercise, read, study, be in the nature, build the camaraderie, while also trying to make members to be the best they can be. We oppose unhealthy subcultures, drugs, immoral behavior. We have these things in common, and all organizations out there that have the same approach are potential partners for the Nordic resistance movement. Then you can differ in certain niches. For example, you can differ somewhat ideologically, or at least what you choose to communicate. Some choose not to call themselves National Socialists for tactical reasons or because it is illegal in their home countries. Well, we have chosen to actually call ourselves that because we want to take the term back. It may differ in terms of activism. Some focus mostly on large demonstrations, others on flash demonstrations or on daily activism, social actions, and so on. And sometimes it can also differ which geopolitical view you have. One might take sides with the Russians in the Ukraine conflict, the second for the Ukrainians, the third against both parties, while the fourth is completely neutral. There is also a fifth positions where those who side with Russia believe that they rather side against American and globalist interests. But who the hell cares in the grand scheme of things? The most important things for us, apart from the fact that we want to raise healthy and strong members and ideals, is that you have the right view when it also comes to the race question and the Jewish question. That is, fighting for our race and having identified who is behind the problems we face and trying to make other people aware of this. Because if you completely dismiss sound national movements that are consistent on the racial and the Jewish issue, because they may have a different view on some minor political or geopolitical issue, then you are not our friend, because that means that you value these minor issues more highly than the issues that are vital to the existence of our people and our race. Yeah, that was that. Thank you for me, and thank you, Patriot Alternative, for the invitation. Hopefully, I or Simon Lindberg can participate ourselves on a future occasion.
Mm. Very good introduction. And I just want to add first on that the last things you said there about race being the most important question and side questions put aside. I mean, if you think that side questions are more important than race, then that is what Strasserism is all about. Strasserism, yeah. In the German Third Reich, that was about putting economical questions before race questions. But I definitely, and the Nordic Resistance Movement, have used the terminology also for other questions besides economy. But when you put some question, whatever it may be, in front of the race question, then you are a Strasserist.
Yeah.
And then also, you said we were not Duginists. Of course, that is 100% true. But what about Naspols then?
No.
No. No, just kidding, of course. No, we are National Socialists, nothing else. We, our loyalty is towards our race and nothing else.
Yeah. Yes. And we're moving on. So we're moving on to the segment, what has been going on in the struggle since the last episode, and that is from the middle of September until now, the middle of November.
Yeah, it has been a somewhat slower period, which I believe is fully understandable after the hectic time we had during the elections in Sweden. It has not in any way been a slow period, just a little bit slower than what maybe you listeners and sympathizers are used to hear about in this segment. In any other organization than ours, it has probably been a quite busy period. or in most other organizations than ours, at least. But as said, compared to the massive amount of activities we used to do, it has been at least a little bit slow. We have carried out a total of around 200 activities in the Nordic countries during the period. Among these 200 activities, we can find that our physical test for activists have been carried out. We have done martial art trainings, cold baths outside in lakes. Also, mountains have been climbed in at least both Norway and on Iceland. And of course, there has been a lot of basic activism, handing out flyers and putting up stickers and whatever it might be. The most fantastic activity during the period was definitely done during the last weekend of October. And I'm not talking about our participation in Patriotic Alternatives conference in the UK. No, this was the last weekend of October, and of course, it is great that we have this contact with like-minded people all around the world. But still, when I'm talking about the most fantastic activity during the period that happened the last weekend of October, I am instead referring to the great flash demonstration we held in the city of Oslo. Actually, we wrote history this day, since it was the first National Socialist demonstration in the Norwegian capital since the 1940s. Our uniformed activists marched the central parts of Oslo with our flags and shouting slogans. We then stopped and gave a speech outside of the Norwegian parliament, and then we continued the demonstration towards Antifa Norway's infamous headquarters. Sadly, though, our activists couldn't reach the Antifa headquarters because here the police mobilized in great numbers to stop us. A small confrontation between our activists and the police broke out, as our guys did not accept that the activity should end before they got to the Antifa house. Police started trying to arrest our guys, but some managed to get away. However, in the end, most of our guys were arrested. Not all, but most of them. They got to spend the night in custody, and then after a night in jail, the comrades from Sweden and Denmark that participated were deported from Norway. In total, there were three historical goals of this day: to be able to march down the most central street in Oslo, to give a speech outside of the parliament, and to get to demonstrate past the Antifa headquarters. Out of these three glorious goals, we succeeded with two, and so history has been written, and another very well carried out activity can be added to Nordic Resistance Movement long resume. Both the same day and several days after the demonstration, we got enormous media publicity, of course in Norway, but also all over the North. And we have also received several new membership applications. So all in all, I want to say that the demonstration in Oslo was a very successful day. Thanks all guys and girls that were attending. We have also gotten a lot of media publicity in Denmark due to other activities carried out during this period. In the city of Haderslev, a doll was hanged up together with the posters saying that race traitors should be hanged. A local politician felt threatened, went to the police, and so the media circus was a fact. Apparently, this politician identified himself as a race traitor since he felt threatened by the message that race traitors should receive capital punishment. So, yeah, maybe not the best guy to vote on if he identifies as a race traitor. There were also a massive propaganda campaign in the Danish city of Herning, where several thousands of stickers were put up and flyers were handed out on several places in the municipality, among these places at a couple of different schools. And after the activities, our guys contacted the media themselves with an anonymous tip. And it actually paid off a lot, since it led to media publicity, not only in the local news, but also the biggest newspaper in Denmark wrote about the activism, and they showed off our propaganda and our internet address without any censorship at all. They just took photos of the propaganda and posted in their newspaper. So hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of Danes saw our propaganda because that our own guys tipped off the media. And this is actually a kind of trolling activity that we do every now and then, and a troll activity that is very easy to conduct. You role play that you are a upset citizen that have seen this horrible Nazi propaganda in your town, and you send in some photos and so on. And if you're lucky, then the media will take the bait and write about the whole thing. And I recommend this kind of trolling method to all listeners that conduct nationalist street activism every now and then. Because even though the hostile papers usually write shit about us, still, I would say we often gain by getting this attention from them. And especially when they have our internet address without censorship in the publications. We actually also got some media attention on Iceland when the Lügenpresse tried to connect us to a preparing of a terrorist action that was stopped by the police, or at least according to what the police said themselves. Of course, this terrorist planning had nothing at all to do with the Nordic Resistance Movement, and the media didn't even get any tips that we could have been involved. No, they only wrote about it anyway as some kind of Schutzpa guessing game. And without apologizing afterwards, even when they were proven to be totally wrong.
Yeah, it was insane, because there was a press conference by the police, and the media asked, the first question was, do you think that the Nordic Resistance Movement could have been a part of this? And the police chief said that we can't rule it out.
Mm.
So yeah, and then they have the story that that the police is investigating us, something like that. Totally insane.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So a lot of media publicity, at least. Hopefully, also the media publicity on Iceland leads to something good, since we were very fast at writing an article on the webpage stating that we had nothing to do with this terrorist act. It was just the Lügenpresse acting like the Lügenpresse does. During the period, there has also been several public leaflettings that did not get any media attention, except for in our own media then, of course. For example, we have been in the city center of Silkesborg in Denmark. In Sweden, we have been in Alvesta, Strängnäs Market, Stockholm, among other cities. And the day before we recorded this, there was also a square meeting in the city of Växjö in Sweden, where two different speakers talked to the citizens, and lots of flyers were handed out. And one of the speeches, just some curiosa, one of the speeches made a reference back to 1985, when a square meeting was held in the same city by the no longer active party Nordiska Rikspartiet. And back then in 1985, 8 National Socialists met thousands of angry Reds that mobilized and attacked the activists. But this time, in 2022, there were no problem at all, except for, I guess there was in the report said, a fat lady, she spat towards the activists once. But that is quite something else. Quite different from thousands of Reds attacking you, I would say. And instead, there were many, very many people that responded positive towards our activists in Växjö. So I believe this whole activity is a good sign, among many other, on how the tides are turning and how the times are changing. We are getting bigger and bigger and bigger at the same time as the Reds are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Of course, we knew that also before this activity, but as said, this is yet another sign of it. Talking about Nordiska Rikspartiet, by the way, one of the leading members in that party was the veteran National Socialist Vera Oredsson, that since several years back now is a member in the Nordic Resistance Movement. And the 94-year-old woman that had been active for the National Socialist cause ever since Hitlerjugend in the Third Reich in Germany, she was dragged to court, prosecuted of hate speech in the end of September. Luckily, she was freed after some good work by herself and her attorney, but I think the case still says a lot about how corrupt the state of Sweden is when they threaten an old lady with prison just because some things she wrote online in a commentary section of a webpage several years ago. She was actually the oldest person ever to be prosecuted at this specific courthouse in Falu tingsrätt. I of course understand that you must put a 94-year-old woman to court if she murdered someone or, you know, made some horrific crime in some way, but to do it just because she has other political views than what the system holds, that is just insane. And once again, the system of the Western democracies are not free and open-minded people's rule kind of civilizations, but instead they are evil dictatorships only masked as free states. And then as a last thing to mention that has happened during the period, I will continue on the subject of trials. Because in the last episode of Leadership Perspective, I mentioned that two of our very loyal activists were arrested, suspected of assault in the southern Swedish city of Örkelljunga the day before the election day. And during this period of time, they went to trial and was also temporarily released after a little more than a month in jail. And they got sentenced to 4 and 6 months in prison for fighting off these anti-fascists. Anti-fascists in Örkelljunga that destroyed our propaganda posters and also were cocky against one of our activists when they were many and our activist was alone. For this, they were a little bit later confronted by two of our guys. And this is why they got arrested. This is why they got convicted. Self-defense against anti-fascists. In this rotten state, they got sentenced to prison for this. But in a sound system, of course, they would have been awarded medals. And hopefully, we will be able to award medals in a future Nordic nation. With that being said, I think I am happy with everything from this period. As said, a bit slow compared to usual, but still a very, very active and good period.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just have one more thing to say, and I know I spoke earlier about Nordic Frontier episode number 245, but if you listen to that, if you want to hear also about the Oslo flash demonstration, they interview the chief of our Norwegian branch, Tommy Olsen, in that episode. So you can check that out. And yeah, that was that.
Yeah, and we put a link to the show in the description on our webpage to this episode.
Yeah. Now we're moving on to the ideological, tactical, philosophical question. And in this episode, we will go into our view of gender roles, the woman in life and in the struggle, as well as a part on feminism. So one of many perceptions that are sometimes spread about us is that we hate women. Is this correct?
Of course not. No, it's not correct. I would actually say that the truth is the absolute opposite towards this. There is no ideology more hateful toward women than the liberal feminism, and no worldview that is more loving towards women than National Socialism. We love women for who they are, who they were born to be, and we don't want them to be in any other way. We want them to be women. We do not see men as better than women, and therefore we do not want women to become men. Instead, we want them to embrace their traditional female gender role and their natural femininity. National Socialism is, as you know, about what is best for our race, for our freedom, for our racial survival. And when it comes to breed and upbringing of new generations of Aryans, women has and will always have the central, most important role. For this, we cherish women, we love them, and we want them to be proud of who they are, proud of being womanly women. We do not want them to try to be bad copies of men, as feminism want them to be. No, let men be manly and let women be female. Embrace the natural gender roles. Those beliefs of ours is based on pure love for our people as a whole. Love for women as well as for men.
So the Nordic Resistance Movement are not feminist?
No, absolutely not. Feminism is perhaps the most successful, but also the most evil branch of cultural Marxism. It is a creation of the eternal enemies of our race in order to earn money also on women's labor, at the same time as feminism is dividing and destroying the natural and sound families and thereby lower our birth rates. Today we are below remuneration level when it comes to birth rates in all white countries. There are less whites being born than whites that die. And there are several sinister reasons to blame for this. We have talked about the great replacement in earlier episodes of Leadership Perspective. But I would say that feminism is the worst of all things to blame for the low birth rates. Feminism makes women be ashamed of being women and instead try to become men. It is not good enough to be the best mother you can possibly become for your kids and a traditional housewife. Instead, you should focus on your career. You should earn money, lots of money, and you should be independent. Of course, you should not be independent from the system. Of course, you should not be independent from the banks and the interest rates. No, you should only be independent from having a man in your life. Because feminism is also hateful towards men. At the same time as it hates femininity and wants women to be like men, it also blames men for everything that is wrong in the world. So feminism is a pure and sinister hatred towards the most stunningly beautiful, natural, and innocent thing there are on this planet. A proud Aryan mother with a newborn in her arms. And a sad thing with feminism is also that women actually are fooled, or brainwashed maybe, to believe that this pursue in trying to become men at the same time as they hate men, will make them happier, will make them more fulfilled. But instead, in the reality, depressions among women goes to the rooftops and more happy pills than ever before is being prescribed, mostly to women. The best society cannot be created by fighting for either women or men. No, the truth is that we, of course, need to unite men and women, not split them apart. Women are equally worthless without men, as men is worthless without women. In unity and in harmony, though, with National Socialism. That's the way we can create miracles. Even the greatest miracle of them all, new Aryan life.
Yeah, I actually see the feminists and what is called the incels as two sides of the same coin. They are the same. The incels hate women, and women hate men. And the incels are some kind of reaction to feminism.
Mm.
And one of these sides is promoted by the media and the system, and the other is not. And but they are the same because incels and feminists does not want to breed. Maybe the feminist wants to meet some Negro man or stuff like that, but they don't want to breed with white men, and incels doesn't want to. Yeah, they hate women. So
yeah, or maybe they go to Thailand and
maybe go to Thailand,
bring some wife home. Yeah,
and this is the reason that feminism is so destructive to our people, to our race, and yeah, you know who's behind it.
Yeah,
they done a good job from their point of view, so to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and. Yeah, we don't wish to chain women to the stove then.
No, because at the same time as we fight feminism, we also do not agree on the view on women that is more or less shared by all the desert religions. We do not believe that men should own their wives as if they were their property or their cattle or something. We encourage and embrace natural gender roles, meaning that it, of course, is the most logical if women want to have several kids and stay at home to be the central person of these kids' upbringing, and to stand side by side with the father of the children, a man that is working to get money for the family and also is the one responsible for protecting the family against various possible threats. And when it is like this, of course, it also would be more common for the women to take care of the cooking and the household chores and so on. But with this being said, we do not want to prohibit women from labor or force women into becoming mothers. We just want to make it their most encouraged, natural, and common choice. With this being said, of course, we do not encourage some kind of sleazy pig behavior among men either. Now, of course, in families, the man and the woman help each other out with everything needs to be taken care of. Only that natural, the stay-at-home wife with the kids probably takes care of the majority of the chores while the man is away to work or maybe even to fight to defend his race, fatherland, and family.
Yeah, yeah. Shame to the stove, that is a term in English, and we have the same term in Swedish, but in the Swedish language. So it's a universal term, and it's all rhetoric. You can also say to a man, he's chained to a machine on the factory. That is the same thing, actually. And it isn't that exotic to be a man, to work on a factory. Trust me, I worked several years before on a factory. So you can appreciate the women cooking, like this, like you said, and being chained to the stove. It's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong to cook food and provide the family with food and stuff like that. And it's nothing wrong to be chained to a machine on a factory either.
Absolutely so, not. If it is like that, then you do your part, both of you, and together you will do what's best for the families.
Yeah, and you can always say you're ashamed to that, this and that, and yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, and yeah, absolutely.
Pure rhetoric. You talked about the Middle East before, and so my question is plain and simple. There will be no white Sharia if the North Resistance Movement gets to decide.
No, definitely not. As you were into, no incels either, just because we don't like feminists. No, but of course, as a joke, as a meme to provoke feminists or something, it could be one thing with white Sharia. And I'm certain that among several nationalists that spread the memes around white Sharia, it was just this, a joke, a meme to provoke people. But for white men to seriously embrace the concept of white Sharia, that is something very, very bad. It is as bad as for a white woman to advocate feminism. Instead, of course, unity and respect towards each other, to acknowledge gender diversities and to understand that these diversities actually can make us stronger if we use them the right way. That is the natural way. That is the National Socialist way. So let the Arabs have their Sharia and let the Jews have their feminism. We whites, we have something else, something better suited for us. It's called Volksgemeinschaft.
Yes. And moving on, does the Nordic Resistance Movement have many female members?
We have fewer female members than male ones, but still we do have quite many women in our ranks as well, I would say. I also think it is quite natural that we, as a outspoken revolutionary struggle organization, actually has more male members than female members. I think the whole concept of fighting on the street to save your race, that most certainly appeals more to men than to women. And on top of this, it could also be mentioned that women are often more sensitive than men towards standing out from the crowd. And therefore, I do believe many women does not dare to join us, actually, even if they would have liked to do so. But as said, we do have women as members, quite many. We also have some really, really loyal and very, very good women in our ranks. But the majority of the members are men, yes.
If a woman listened to this and is afraid to join because it's mostly men, what would you say?
I would say that in our organization, and I believe I talk for most of the nationalist scene, actually other organizations as well, not everyone, of course, but most of them, there does not exist any negative so-called sexism. It is a word I really dislike, as it is a modern feminist word, but I still use it so that everyone hopefully understands what I'm talking about. Female members, they will not be treated bad by the male members, and there are no anti-female talk going around. So there will be no bullying against women, definitely not. And if you are a single woman that would like to get your hands on a real alpha male, then you would get lots of possibilities in our organization, I would say. But at the same time, if you are already in a relationship or you're not interested to be involved in one right now, then I also would like to point out for sure that there is no one that is going to make any wearisome moves on you either. I can assure you that. In order for us to stand victorious in the end, we must be able to attract also the women to our ranks. They are 50% or 49% or something, if we are to be detailed, of our whole people. Of course, we also need their support. And if you who listen to this are a woman and you want there to be more women in the National Socialist struggle, then the best way you can make this happen is, of course, by leading by example and join yourself.
Yeah, and what you said about respecting people, male and females in a relationship, we do have strict rules against infidelity. Mm. So if you are in a relationship and are cheating on your partner, you will get expelled. And also if you try to split a family or a partnership, you will also be expelled from the organization. You will be kicked out.
Yes, that is not behavior that is suitable to our morale and to National Socialism.
No. Yes, are women equal to men in the organization?
No, and that is because National Socialism, in some ways, could be said to be the opposite of equality. Men and women are not equals, as well as different men are not equal with each other. No one is the same as the other one, and we identify and embrace these differences instead of trying to smoothen them out and pretend like they does not exist, or adjust our cause to this or that because everyone should fit in or whatever. We instead embrace these differences. But as said, no one will be mistreated as women, but they will be treated as females and not as males. We have women that are street activists, but we do also have women, maybe a little bit more women, that works more behind the scenes. Maybe with cooking, maybe with preparing meetings, maybe with writing articles for our web pages and so on. And this is as well as we have men in both places. Maybe a little bit more men are on the streets, but there are also men working with cooking and writing articles and whatever. We like to try to see to your abilities and your traits. We like to find out your individual strengths and then do the best to use them in the best possible way. And this is no matter if you are a man or a woman. Men and women are not equal because they are different. With this being said, one of the sexes is not overall better than the other either. Both men and women are fantastic, but they are great at different things.
Yeah. The nuclear family is something that men and nationals tend to empathize as an ideal. But I know you dislike this concept. Would you like to elaborate?
Yeah, most people of today probably associate the word nuclear family and believes that it is the perfect model. It is a man and a woman and a couple of kids, and that this model, the nuclear family, is the clear opposite towards the modern cultural Marxist ideas of a family with, yeah, I don't know, two homosexual males that have some adopted kids from Africa or whatever it might be in the so-called rainbow families. However, it is not really true that the nuclear family is the direct opposite to all of this. Because the nuclear family, that is a quite modern concept that was brought forward by capitalists to make it easier also for women to go to work in their factories so that they could earn even more money. The older and more natural concept of a family, however, are multi-family households. Bigger self-sufficient farms where maybe also your grandparents and a couple of your siblings lived with their families, and where everyone did their part to help each other out and help the families as a whole. But the capitalists, and as always, hand in hand with the cultural Marxists, they wanted to divide these big households, these big families, and therefore they built small apartments in the cities near the factories. They established daycare centers so that everyone, instead of working in their farms for their own families and taking care of their own kids, everyone could work in the industries. And I must say that I actually do not know what the perfect family, how the most happy family constellation would look like in the future National Socialist nation. Maybe we will go back to multi-family households. Maybe it is better as it is when you look into the modern society and everything. Maybe something else. I don't know. But what I do know is that we should not use our enemy's vocabulary and see to it as something perfect. And therefore, I prefer the concept of natural or even traditional family rather than using the word nuclear family.
Mm-hmm. So, freedom for gay adoptions and polygamy?
No. I do not, definitely not, do believe that these things could be said to be a part of either a natural or a traditional family. And actually, Nordic Resistance Movement in our political program, Our Path, states that we want to prohibit homosexuals from both marriage and adoption. We also see a big honor in faithfulness, and at least I would say in normal peace times, then the natural and normal family clearly consists of one man and one woman. We can, of course, play with thoughts. What happened if 99% of all men died in a war or something? Then maybe things would have been different. But in normal circumstances, of course, a normal and sound and natural family consists of one man and one woman. And hopefully, if you're white, lots of kids.
Yeah, and the thing, the war times there that you spoke about, that actually was a thing in the Viking Age, because men died like flies on the Crusades and the war, and maybe they have had another, I don't think wife, but another woman, because they had to breed. Yeah. But that was 1,000 years ago, and yeah, like you said, the normal thing is not that.
Exactly.
Yeah. It almost feels strange to have to bring this up, but how do we view so-called gender corrections?
Yeah, that's because we are boomers. It feels strange. No, but no. I mean, for youth today, it's
2023 now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, this is, of course, totally insane. This is nothing we support at all. On the opposite, we would fight it with our nails and teeth. The fact that preteens as young as 12 to 13 years old gets hormone-blocking medicines handed out by doctors, or that in some countries it is actually illegal to address your daughter as a she if she identifies as a he. That is, of course, clear examples of a civilization in total decay. It is so sick, so perverted, so unnatural that I have actually a hard time finding words to describe the madness. You cannot be born in the wrong body. It's impossible. You are born in the exact body as you should have been born into. Believing anything else is just delusion. Of course, you cannot treat this illusion by giving in to it. If you believe that you are a girl trapped into a boy's body, you need mental help, not gender-changing medication or surgery. That is my firm belief, boomer or not.
What a relief. Yeah. So, yeah, anything else you want to add on the subject?
Yeah, a couple of things then, a couple of recommendations maybe. First off, I would really like to recommend the video documentary What is a Woman? By Matt Walsh, that was released earlier this year. It has been quite hailed in the nationalist milieu, I know, and by good reasons. It is it very clearly highlights the madness that is behind the cultural Marxist gender policies. Maybe it can be a bit black-pilling, the documentary, but it is very informative, and it really shows how far the decay has come in certain places of the world. So I would say watch What is a Woman, unless you are super sensitive to black pills, maybe. Secondly, I also recommend the article Feminism, Woman's Greatest Enemy, on NordicResistanceMovement.org. That article, that is actually written by one of our female members, describes very well why National Socialism and not feminism is the most friendly worldview towards women. So even if you're super sensitive to black pills or not, read the article Feminism, Woman's Greatest Enemy on NordicResistanceMovement.org, and we will put up a link in the description to or on our webpage for this show as well. Thirdly, I want to quote the martyr David Lane. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children, because the beauty of the white Aryan woman must not perish from the earth. And lastly then, in order to be able to live up to David Lane's quote, no matter if you are a woman or a man, join or at least support your local National Socialist organization. Reject the joke of feminism. Reject the joke of Sharia. Manly men and feminine women, together and united, that is how we will win. With one people in one nation under the rule of Volkgemeinschaft. That is how we will defeat cultural Marxism, and that is how we will stand victorious.
Yes, good. And then we end the show for this time. You can send questions and suggestions on topics for future episodes of Leadership Perspective, and you can do that to info@NordicResistanceMovement.org. We do also appreciate both negative and positive feedback. Please spread this episode on social medias and help the Nordic Resistance Movement in any way you can. And you can read more about us on our webpage, NordicResistanceMovement.org. Next episode will be available the 11th of January. See you then. Bye.
Yeah, I would also wish everyone a very, very, very early, perhaps your first for this year, happy Jul. I also want to wish all nationalists out there a wonderful ending of 2022 and a great beginning of 2023. And of course, I want the opposite to all our enemies. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.